Blog Talk Radio.
Well, your dadgum government, your sorry so-and-sos, you got your damn hands in every pocket of my clothes. Well, your dadgum, dadgum, dadgum government. Oh, don't you know? Oh, don't you love them sometimes? Well, your dadgum government, you better pay attention. You're setting up there like a fool's convention. Will you dadgum, dadgum, dadgum government? Uh-huh. Oh, don't you know? Oh, don't you love them sometimes? Uh-huh.
Well, welcome to Handling the Truth. This is Terry Dodd, and I'm here tonight with my co-host, the rebel madman himself, Mike Gatti. And we've also got a guest or two here with us tonight. We got Daryl Wayne, our favorite pilot, that's going to join in our discussion tonight. And also with us is Dave Scorpio. And Mike, you want to introduce these guys?
Well, I think I do. Daryl Wayne is a friend. Believe it or not, we met on talk radio. And we became friends in spite of that. And we have had some wonderful hours of discussion. And probably, if you promise not to tell him, Terry, he's one of the brightest people I know. And then also, Dave Scorpio is a producer on my show on Sundays and on Fridays. And he is a man of immense knowledge himself. So let's let them tell the folks a little bit about themselves also.
Well, DW, the reason I think he's called me bright before, too, but I think it was because of the reflection off my forehead.
Well, you know, that makes perfect sense to me now, too, because you and I have pretty much the same haircut. So I see a correlation there. So, yeah. And we all got together here the other night in person, which was a rare and special occasion for me. Really enjoyed it. And the only one missing was Dave, and we're gonna arrange that here maybe sometime this year, right, Dave? All get together.
Oh yeah, yeah. I'm gonna make it back to the States soon enough, man, and we'll do it for sure.
We might all have to come out on there, Dave.
Well, Dave, the one thing we can tell you, it was really a trick to get the restaurant to send you the bill for our meal Monday night.
I wonder what that was. I was wondering how you guys managed not to get kicked out of the restaurant, but
well, we kind of did. They kept coming around asking us politely if we were done, and then they flicked the lights on us a couple times. So then we took the hint. So we had to leave. So.
Well, DW kind of set it all in motion when he threw his wine glass in the floor.
Yeah. Well, that I was just trying to get a refill. You know, that's. You know, that's so anyway, I've been hanging around with Mike for probably, I don't know, about 4 years now, 5 years, Mike, about 5 years. We've been hanging out together with either on the radio or in person a little bit and trying to make sense out of nonsense. And we find that a lot of that understanding can come from a correct and accurate perspective of the history, which we weren't taught. So that's what Mike's been pretty responsible in a lot of ways for poking me in my mental ribs here, and he always seems to have some really good source material, and that's helped me a lot. And I just try to share what research that I've come up with over the years, and I'm blended into the mix. So looking forward to tonight. And that's about all anybody needs to know about me.
Dave, do you want to give a brief on yourself?
No, go ahead, Mike.
Well, we said it's your turn to talk about yourself. Tell the people about yourself and your show.
Oh, well, you know, I do a show on Saturdays from 1 to 4 p.m. on Revolution Radio. And I just try to tell people, you know, what is really happening. And we live in, you know, a sea of lies and a land of illusion. And what happened last night was just the latest example of it.
Mike, should we let DW give us an assessment of what he thinks has gone on here in the last 72 hours?
Well, Terry, I noticed you forgot to start us off with a prayer, sir.
I think that's a good idea. All this traveling around the countryside, I guess, has caused some mental lapses here. Please pray with me. Almighty Father, we look around us and we see the insanity, and it is just a little mind-boggling. You've kind of told us that things are going to get chaotic toward the end of this this existence on Earth that we call our lives, and we just we pray that you take control, and we know that you are the ultimate victor, and you've known far in advance, thousands of years in advance, how this was all going to play out. So we rely upon you. We invite you to join us in this discussion today. We pray that you take control of our words and our thoughts and help us to bring forward the truth. We're all about handling the truth here, and that's what we want, and we know that we need you to show us what the real truth is, because everything seems to be like an illusion to us right now. Invite your spirit to go before us. We want to be of service to you. We want to be in your desire. So we turn it over to you, Father, and rely upon you, and that's how we get through every day. It's in the name of your Son, our Savior, our King, Yahshua HaMashiach, we pray. Amen.
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 Well, Mike, what do you want to start with tonight?
Well, I would like to, as you started just a couple of minutes ago, I would like to get DW's take on what transpired in our nation's capital yesterday. Give us your thoughts on that, DW, and then we'll all chime in and add and subtract where necessary.
Well, okay. Well, thanks for the lead off there. I'm probably going to come at this from a little different angle, and it's been apparent by, you know, watching the videos and news feeds. There is a news event, and obviously a lot has occurred there. I take it from the perspective that this is a fait accompli of a process that was put in place a long time ago to bring the people to a state of political demoralization. And I believe that was part of the psychological aspect of this whole process over the last 20 years, in particular the last four. So the issue isn't whether or not people have legitimate complaints. It's that they are manifesting the very prescient prediction that Thomas Jefferson forecasted, predicted so long ago. And the quote is, "If a nation expects to be ignorant and free in a state of civilization, it expects what never was and never will be." And that was expressed yesterday at the in the District of Criminals. that's what occurred. It was a lament, a complaint, and a large number of what I can only imagine is really well-meaning people who are really quite ignorant as to their actual condition. And that doesn't make them bad. It just makes them in a state where they're not free. And they haven't been free for a very long time, if they ever were. And this is what it looks like when these expectations or idealizations of what you thought reality was come up against what actually is. This is what we saw yesterday. I know this is kind of a little different angle, but that's my take on it. So, Mike, Dave.
We just wanted to make you think you were out there by yourself. A really good assessment, in my opinion. One of the lessons that I took from yesterday, and I think it was a very dramatic lesson, and that was, you show up to protest our government and we'll shoot you dead, which is what happened to the lady yesterday, an unarmed woman shot from and obviously targeted. She was unarmed. She was not physically attacking anyone. She was not doing anything because the Capitol Police had let them in the door. So they can't call it storming the door or breaching the door. The videos are clear that the Capitol Police let them in the doors. And then a woman, a veteran, an Air Force veteran, was shot and killed. And to me, that was the lesson that I took from yesterday. Show up to protest this government, we'll kill you. Any thoughts, gentlemen?
I might be splitting hairs here, but I would probably use the term murder. She was murdered in cold blood. So,
I found quite a few things that didn't quite fit right. And number one is obviously from the videos that I saw and from some firsthand reports that I was getting yesterday, there was a large crowd, considerable numbers, and yet we ended up with some goofball freak with a helmet with a horn in it who seemed to be the foremost person to actually get to the House of Representatives speaker stand. And what are the odds in a crowd of that magnitude, what are the odds of someone in that getup being at the precise time, at the precise place, at the precise time to get inside for a photo op?
It's been reported that the Viking guy is in fact an undercover Marine who has been infiltrating BLM and Antifa and has cameras in his headset and in his headgear and had been recording things at these different protests and things going on.
Well, I can see that, Terry, and that may be true, but how, unless he was granted access, what are the chances of being in a crowd of thousands did he happen to be at the door at the proper time to walk through?
I don't think there's a very good chance at all. But, you know, they also, on those laptops that they took when they went to the bunker, when they went to the secure quarters and left the chambers, there was a bunch of laptops that were confiscated, and they found messages on there where they were sent, the senators and congressmen were sending messages to BLM and known BLM and Antifa contacts, as well as the media. So, I mean, the whole thing had to have a substantial amount of coordination.
Well, I think it could properly be termed a false flag event, because most of the stuff that happened, with the except for the murder of the woman, I find could have been a pre-planned op.
Yeah,
I haven't talked to anybody that would disagree with that.
And now we have Pelosi pitched her little fit today. She wants to impeach Trump again for 13 days because she says he can't be allowed to stay one day more. She either wants that done or she wants Pence to file the 25th Amendment to get rid of him because he's mentally unstable. The political hay that's being made out of this thing yesterday is just astronomical.
Well, there's been a lot of exposure to what a lot of these people are truly about. I don't think there's a lot of people out there that may have had some suspicion, but I believe that now it's become, as DW used the word, manifest, that these people are singing out of the same songbook from different sides of the aisle. I mean, can anybody at this point believe that McConnell is not working in conjunction with Pelosi? Can anybody now believe that Paul Ryan was not a traitor?
Well, Terry, I know this crazy guy that you had dinner with Monday night that's been saying that for 20 years.
Yeah, but how many people believe you?
Well, I can't help it if people choose not to believe. That's not it. But the point of it is I've put it out there, and I've got published articles from 20 years ago to prove it.
Well, what we find here now is after this event yesterday and the lead up to it over the last 4 years, do we have a wider demographic of audience that is going to be capable of listening to alternative explanations of our socioeconomic political situation? It can only come through education. There cannot be a reactive political result that is viable going forward. I was talking with a good friend tonight prior to the show, and I said, you know, this has a physical momentum and inertia that's been set free, much like the old proverbial snowball rolling downhill, and it will have to run its course. So it can't be stopped immediately or even the course changed. History doesn't support that as what occurs in these situations. The best we can do, I think, is hopefully triage and mitigate the situation. I think we have to have reasonable expectations here. We have to start being reasonable at some point. And that means situational awareness, self-awareness, and clear and objective critical thinking here as to what are how we can reasonably triage this situation going forward and organize ourselves individually and then in what manner we can go forward. And so I'm looking towards the future because I can't do anything about the past now. So.
Well, D.W., Mike in the past has said the number one thing we have to do through this whole thing that was coming forward, and we knew things were going to get chaotic, was to survive. That's number one. If we don't survive it, it won't matter, will it? I'm curious, and I want to hear your side of this, D.W., before Mike chimes in, because I kind of suspect where Mike's going to go with it, but D.W., I'm wondering what your thought is about Trump getting on an E-4B and going down to this military command center in Abilene and all of the speculation that we've heard from players like Juan Sabin and I won't even mention his name, but the guy at Natural News, because I know that that Mike would rather hear a mule pass gas than hear anything from that guy. But at any rate, there's a lot of speculation out there about Trump letting this all play out so that all the traitors can be exposed and that the people can know that they're traitors. And now he's going to come in as the white knight and start arresting all these people and turn this whole thing around and be the president for the next 4 years. I'm just curious, D.W., what your read on all of that is.
Well, I've heard some of the same counterintelligence, COINTELPRO communications. I've heard a lot over the last 4 years about this guy named Q or this group called Q and something about the plan and this sort of stuff. And so far I haven't seen it, I'll use the word again, manifest itself. As entertaining as that idea might be, particularly in a made-for-public movie scenario, I guess the bottom line would be I obviously don't have enough information to know the veracity as to whether or not Mr. Trump's present location and circumstances, if in fact we could work on it from the hypothetical, I guess. So if in fact he is in that secure military base and situation, and he has command and control over enough loyal military personnel, could affect a martial law situation. In this case, I would say it would have to be a general military situation, more like a general martial law condition nationwide at that point. At this point, it would have to be instead of the just the particular states that were in question, the five or six that were in question. So I would think that would have to be what would occur. Of course, at that point, it would probably have to be a general martial law situation, because if he was to invoke that, he would have to, and the military would have to apprehend thousands and thousands of state and government personnel. And so it'd be a pretty big deal. And it will require shutting down of all constitutional rights, media. The perception that you had any constitutional rights would, you know, those are actually privileges and immunities would have to be taken off the table. And there'd be complete media shutdown. And the only thing over the air would be emergency broadcast system, and the internet would probably go down too. So that would be, if that was to occur, if that was to transpire, I would expect that's what would happen along with it. So I did hear today that he actually conceded. Now, I didn't hear him personally say that, but what's your take on that, Dave?
Well, I've heard that he has not conceded. I've heard it
okay.
point blank that he has not conceded.
Yeah.
Well, first, I'd just like to say that it really is an honor to be on this call with this meeting of the minds. I consider the three of you to be some of the smartest and well-informed people that I know, in all honesty. And, you know, as far as this Q thing goes, and, you know, I think they could drop a nuclear bomb on Washington, D.C. The place would be vaporized and, you know, the city turned into a glass-lined parking lot. And there'd be certain people saying that, hey, this is all part of the plan, and Trump saw this coming, and this is part of the plan, guys. Just hold tight and trust the plan. You know, in all honesty, I think that this is a sort of a death knell for all things Trump, and more importantly, let's just take Trump out of the picture. It's sort of a way to make any resistance towards the coming Groper Joe administration make anything, any resistance illegitimate and so-called domestic terrorism. And I think this is just an obvious false flag. I mean, here we have the Capitol buildings, presumably one of the most secure locations in the world in terms of security and, you know, armed guards. And, you know, a ragtag bunch of guys were able to, you know, break through it and go into the building and roam around and take furniture and take laptops, supposedly. The whole thing to me is just a clown show. And unfortunately, it's going to have very bad repercussions because, as I think as DW was saying, the mainstream media is just making, you know, hay out of this, and they're just beginning.
Well, we can throw some other complexities into this. Been pretty substantial reports that the Chinese are poised to literally launch a military assault on the United States. And it seems that they have certainly been, I believe, at least some of the information that they've been inciting some of this fevered pitch of conflict that we're seeing just the tip of the iceberg of here in the United States, and they would love nothing more than to have us in a civil war situation or in a battle with Russia or Iran or anybody that they can get us into conflict with in order to weaken and to destabilize even the grassroots of the United States. And if we're not, I have no real idea at this point just how prepared we are. We know that the military has positioned naval forces off of each coast and that they've had all this activity going on in the Air Force base there by Las Vegas. It seems that they're aware that they need to be in a defensive posture, but were being awfully distracted with all the stuff going inside, and with the way that they've got us so divided at this point, it's difficult to figure how we could hold this thing together with no more organization than there is out there. So with that in the backdrop, Mike, I'm kind of curious to hear where you think this thing is now and where it's going short term. Are you muted, Mike?
Oh, pardon me, operator error. I was going to say, if I had been running this operation, I would have had several members of Congress leave laptops conveniently for people to find with the propaganda I would want disseminated to the public. That would have been part of my overall plan had I put this together. The other part is, and there is actual videos, and my good friend George just sent me a message and reminded me, there are actual videos, and I have one of them, of the Capitol Police actually opening the doors for the people to go inside, which indicates clearly this was a planned op, that it was, and there's also a picture of a Capitol policeman who took a selfie with him and a protester in a MAGA hat. So these things are filtering down, and it's an obvious operation, I believe, and this is not going to surprise any of you guys, but I believe this is a classic operation. I believe Trump's in on it. I believe it's an operation of the government against the people. They have divided the people. They have divided the people along racial lines. They have divided the people along political lines. They have divided the people on religious lines. They have divided the people in every possible way that they can. And that is what you do when you want to defeat an enemy, is you divide and conquer. And the government has planned this. And when it comes to the military operation, we have been at war now for 20 years constantly, which means our resources have been depleted. I read a status report a couple of weeks ago about how many of our fighter and bomber aircraft are actually operational at any one time. And because of repair and refit and everything that has been going on in this 20-year war, and at some times our operational status in the Air Force stands at 40% of our assets are actually ready to operate at any given time. We have spent ourselves into a military crisis trying to take over the Middle East for the Israeli bankers, and it is just a catastrophe that we have set ourselves into. And we have been fighting perpetual war for perpetual peace, which makes absolutely no sense whatsoever. And our military has been depleted while China and Russia have been building theirs up and spending their dollars on advanced technological systems while we've been spending our dollars on bombing people that we shouldn't be bombing.
Well, I would like to take this little opportunity to go back into history and look for some parallels as to our situation that we see present here. Let's just take a little trip with me back to the French Revolution and take a look at what was going on there besides Robespierre and the guillotine. There was more things going on there. There had been a period of about 10 years into the buildup of the French Revolution with infamies and intrigue, and there's a parallel here. Okay, we have a parallel. So this is what I want to draw out here. I want to draw out some general overview parallels. So we have intrigue and infamies, outrages, concerned with money, sex, and bribery, pointed at King Louis and the French government, being provoked by provocateurs. These are the internationalist forerunners to the international cosmopolitan communist order. So they have internal conflict. What else do they have going on? They have external wars. This is never really talked about. It's really off the radar screen of most people's perception in relation to the French Revolution. They were fighting external wars at the same time they were having these internal problems. This is another parallel that we're experiencing. Okay. And the other third thing that is similar to our situation was when the governmental aspect or the overthrow of the French Revolution against King Louis and his government took place, there was also a massive internal civil war that nobody ever talks about. Hundreds and hundreds of thousands, I think the number was like 400,000 Frenchmen died in their internal civil war, and nobody ever talks about it. Let's fast forward about 120 years and go to Bolshevik Russia. What's happening? There's infamies, intrigues, and a fifth column provocateurs inciting problems in Tsarist Russia. We also have external wars going on that the Tsar and Russia are involved in. And then at the point of the revolution, we now have then a civil war going on all at the same time. I'm looking for a pattern here. Am I making any sense here? Are we seeing a pattern? Okay. I think I said this to Dave here several months ago, or maybe it was Mike. But my perspective on what's going on is of course, I tend to think very big picture, and I see this as a Marxist ideology with a Maoist implementation strategy using Saul Alinsky tactics with a technocratic, a technological administration. So they're bringing all four of these elements. I don't really see so much of the Bolshevik aspect of this as it was employed in Russia, but I do see this the Chinese Maoist revolution aspects being used more so. And I just have to think this way because I just can't allow myself to get caught up in the absurdity of this what amounts to a I don't mean to be too disrespectful to people out there, but this is like watching a Don King boxing match or a WWF. So I have to look at it from a bigger point of view. So what do you think about that, Terry?
Well, I keep looking for somebody who is going to take a stand and really help secure the rights of the people. And at this point, I don't see anybody. You know, you've got some that want to hold Rand Paul up with high esteem, and he's on occasion been one to seemingly take a stand. And here he turned on the people just like all the rest of them did. Ken Buck here represented my own. He's my own. Ken Buck is my congressman in my district. And what did he do but put a put an email out denigrating the protesters and calling them un-American, which basically, like Mike said, he was basically regurgitating a tweet by Pence.
Yeah,
these are people who supposedly have a high conservative rating, and yet they aren't smart enough to recognize that some of the people that were the ones causing the real havoc were not the protesters, not the Trump supporters, but infiltrators or Antifa, BLM people, and even the Capitol Police themselves. You know,
Terry?
What about calling out the guy that shot the gal?
Terry,
I don't see any heroes in this.
Terry, I got a question. Does being a expedient conservative statesman's job description doesn't include being a political martyr? They're not in this to they didn't get into politics to be statesmen where they might physically experience any adversity. I was thinking today about, you know, where kind of along the lines that you just brought out, Terry, which is where are these the new founding fathers, the new character of men that are so adored and idolized literally out of the past? Where are these new ones to be found, and what kind of background would they be? And I was trying to wonder about that. And of course, the regrettably, my mind came up with, well, look, we have all these 6- and 7-figure football coaches, and that are experts at strategy and tactics and dominating the field and these field generals, these could be leaders. Of course, that's just ridiculous, isn't it? This is where we're at. We're left with charlatans and imposters and Hippocrates, the actors. So the leadership will have to organically come out of from the bottom up, probably. We can't look to the churches, which were looked to during the 1700s and to some degrees the 1800s. You could find leadership in the pulpit, and that has been subverted as well.
The Black Robe Regiment.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. Of course, that has been completely turned into contract organizations and corporations. So the separation between church and state is that they're inseparable. there'll have to be a different form of leadership, and that will only have to come. It'll come from the bottom up, and that. That won't happen quickly. That will not happen quickly. So, but I do think we're at risk here from outside physical invasion as well. And that's why I bring some of these other things up. If you're going to take down a place like America and enslave it from a chattel slavery point of view, you would have to do it on a multi-pronged process. You couldn't just do it from one perspective. This country has so been softened up and made vulnerable and fragile that even though it looks like there's these big strong trees standing up, the inside is all rotted out, and the substance has been. The mighty oak isn't. It might be standing there, but it's not going to take much to push it over. So, anyway.
Dave, you want to jump in here before I get Mike back in it?
Oh, I thought that was an excellent analysis by DW there. I'd only add that, it's very possible that we face multiple dangers at the same time. And it does seem like they've softened up our military on purpose by putting, you know, transsexuals and all kinds of other miscreants pretty high up into the military and feminizing the military overall. And I guess the military really hasn't won a war in a very long time. And so I don't think Russia and China have done the same thing to their militaries.
No. An interesting curve to throw into this thing. Are you guys familiar with Phil McConnell?
Yes.
Yes.
You know, they trumped up charges on Phil, a little over a year ago, because he was out there talking about Pence being responsible for the death of as many as 129 children and calling him a traitor long before anybody else was. And now we see that Pence has completely exposed himself in more ways than one. That wasn't a pun.
Isn't that what pedophiles do?
Yeah, I'm curious to get your guys' feedback on what Lynn Wood's part in this at this point, and how you feel about his calling Pence out the way that he has.
Go ahead,
well,
Mike.
Dave. No, I was going to add one quick thing about Lynn Wood. Did you guys know that Lynn Wood was the lawyer for Richard Jewell, the man accused of the Atlanta bombings back in the day?
Yep.
And then now he's Kyle Rittenhouse's attorney. I just find that to be strange. Lynn Wood's saying some interesting things, but he's going to the most extreme edges of conspiratorial thinking. Almost, it seems to me, like to try to discredit things. I don't know. What are your thoughts?
Mike, are you muted again?
No, I don't think so. I'm enjoying this conversation. I realize I come at this from a totally different viewpoint, but I was just thinking how brilliant this whole strategy has been. Because imagine the two sides, the Democrats and the Republicans, as two teams getting ready to play a game for the national championship, and both sides only have to listen to one coach to fire them up. And no one, Biden doesn't have to say anything. Nobody on the left has to say a word. Trump makes a speech, and he fires up both sides at the same time. That's a stroke of genius, guys. That they have put him into position over the last 4 years. But, Terry, I was looking for it as you spoke. I called Pence out 4 years ago. I wrote an article about, and I'm trying to find that so I can quote from it, but I saw him for the stooge that he was, the neocon that he was, because I had examined his political record, and he was a shyster from the very beginning. And when Trump picked him, that was one of my first inklings that, hey, this is a setup from the get-go. But
another tie to the Vatican.
Yeah, we have put ourselves in such a situation. But the thing that Americans just can't grasp hold of, and if they could, we would have a chance out of this mess. But the problem is they can't pick up the picture that we're seeing, and that is the members of the government, including Ken Buck and all of these other people, Rand Paul and everyone else who is in that club, have just every American out here. This is our club, and you're not in it. But Americans will not accept that because it's their government. It's their military. It's their blue line. It's their people. They have to hang on to that. And that is why they are addicted to their own destruction, and we are about to see it full bore.
Yes. Well, you really know how to bring the bottom line, Mike. That you just drive it home right there. They are addicted to their own destruction, and the only way past that is to politically repent and repent for the purpose of redemption from complicity. They are complicit, and they are compliant, and they are complacent. And they will have to, the only redemption for that is to repent politically. And this is problematic at best, I guess. I think there will have to be much suffering for that awareness to come in. It may not happen for several generations. By that time, will we even be human, according to the plan that's being laid out before us? So I'll just give you the bottom line from my standpoint. I won't be around to see it because I'm not going along with any of it personally. So go back to what you said earlier, Terry. I have no expectation of surviving this if they take this to fruition, nor would I want to survive it. So, and I think we're going to have to get to that point individually and in this country to not figuring out what we're going to fight for. Of course, we always fight for what the government tells us is worthy of being fought for. What we're going to have to find out here, and the gut check is going to come, is what are we willing to die for? Of course, I've answered that question a long time ago. But we've been asking the wrong questions here. And the question is, what are you willing to die for? I don't hear enough people asking that question yet.
Dave, you have a comment?
Well, I'd only add that I never liked Mike Pence either. If you look at his eyes, he has dark, steely, cold eyes, the eyes of a psychopath, and a very scary-looking individual. And as they say, the eyes are the windows to the soul. So I've never liked him. And you've got to wonder, how many people can Trump surround himself with that are obviously dark players before you say, oh, well, he didn't know, you know? So I don't know. Yeah, it's got to be a point,
guys,
where you realize that something's off.
I've
witnessed false humility a number of times in my life, and I got to a point where it was something that became very obvious to me. You know, once you sense it, you kind of have a radar for it. And that was the first thing that crossed my mind with Mike Pence, was that here's a man with a look of false humility. I never bought his expression of piety. Because I followed Phil McConnell and Hawk at Able Danger for a number of years, and when I saw what they were doing to him and trumping up false charges on him, which I've obviously seen a lot of political prisoners and have studied a lot of political prisoners, and that's exactly what Phil McConnell had become, because he was out speaking the truth. They trumped him up. I mean, that's one of the ways you can tell if somebody's really having an effect and they really are speaking the truth. They're going to trump up false charges on them, either that or figure out a way to take them out like they did Edgar Steele. Mike, you were talking. I didn't mean to talk over you, buddy.
No, that's all right. That was a good comment, Terry. If I may, I would like to quote from my article 50 months ago, and I will do this as quickly as possible. Many are upset with the neocons in the Republican Party because they do not support Trump. In my humble opinion, this was all part of the master plan. While people like the Bushes, Paul Ryan, Mitt Romney, Bill Kristol, Lindsey Graham, and many others are criticizing Trump, they are only strengthening Trump's position. Trump, through his own words and the words of his running mate, has confirmed for all to hear that he will continue with the government status quo, reference unconstitutional wars and abject tyranny toward the people. To the people in a black church in Detroit, Trump stated, "Being the nominee of the party of Lincoln is the greatest honor of my life." He also stated, "It is on Abraham Lincoln's legacy that I hope to build the future of the party, but more important, the future of the country and the community." And then, Trump said the above statements came from his heart. If Trump is so historically ignorant that he does not comprehend or understand how Abraham Lincoln and the radical Republican Party of 1861 to 1872 did more damage to the government of our founders, our Constitution, and Bill of Rights than Obama has in the past 7+ years, he is unworthy of holding any public office, especially the office of chief executive. The very tyranny this country faces today emanated from the party of Lincoln, which shut down the opposition press, jailed indefinitely without due process tens of thousands of those who spoke out against him, waged an unconstitutional war on his own people, and instituted the income tax and the IRS, among countless other violations of our Constitution that time and space prevent me listing. Let us couple that with the recent statement by Mike Pence, Trump's running mate, that he intends to model his vice presidency after the example of Dick Cheney. Pence has also stated that the nation of Israel should dictate U.S. policy. If these statements don't scare you straight, call 911. You need immediate medical assistance. Unquote.
Well, Mike, you know that I have not agreed with Trump's pandering of the Zionists, both Christian and non-Christian Zionists. You know that I have disagreed with his allowing the removal of the reserve requirements for the banks and creating an unlimited QE environment since the end of March. Now, that's not all that I've disagreed with, but I still have, you know, prayed that he would turn around and do the right thing. Now, my question for you, and I know DW and Dave would both love to hear the answer to this one. Mike, what would it take for Trump to do at this point that would change your mind about Trump?
Well, he could tell the truth. That would be a start. One of the things that people just – and, Terry, this was one of the things I did in my research when Trump first announced. Trump was actually bailed out after he had squandered away his money and had filed bankruptcy again. He was bailed out by at least 40 Rothschild-affiliated banks in 1989. They brought him back from nowhere, and let me tell you something. These people do not bail you out if they do not have a use for you in the future. These folks think ahead, farther ahead than most ordinary people would believe possible. There's nothing that he could do right now. I don't think there's anything he could do because he had 4 years, Terry, and all he did was go backwards, in my opinion. And I think
if he had him start arresting people and stop this communist takeover, and he was able to keep the military in a strong enough position to resist, to make the Chinese think twice about trying to come in here and keep us out of war. If we actually saw justice at his edict, that wouldn't change your thinking about Trump.
Well, Terry, here's the thing: is what it would take to make me trust him is an impossibility. Number one, if he wanted to actually impress me, he could arrest every member of Congress for treason. Now, I don't know who he would get to serve the warrants because the cops aren't going to do it because they're in on it. The FBI's not going to do it. They're in on it. There is nothing he could do to actually do this. He should arrest every one of them for treason because there's not a member of Congress that we have now that has not committed an act of treason. Because they have committed acts of war against the people of the states. That's the only way you can look at it. And he's not going to do that. But if he did that, who's going to stand behind him? There is nobody to stand behind him. The military will not stand behind him. That's not about to happen. He cannot fix in 3 weeks what he did in 4 years. I wish he could, but if he issued arrest warrants, which he cannot do because he does not have the power to issue an arrest warrant, that would have to be done through – this is what I'm saying. It's impossible because it would have to be done through the Injustice Department. And they're not going to issue warrants for anybody in Congress because they're owned and controlled. If he came out tomorrow and said the Federal Reserve no longer exists, they are done. There is actually a provision in the Act of 1913 for us to buy out the Federal Reserve. And no one's ever even thought of doing that, have they? But there is absolutely no way because the government is too corrupt. He can't do anything. He couldn't do anything after the day after he was inaugurated without the consent of the deep state. And there is nothing you can do with this government. It's not the people, it's the machine, people. Until people understand that you cannot put a new driver in a plane that is hurtling towards Earth at supersonic sound and expect them to get out of the plane, step around to the engine and fix it, and then get back in the plane and prevent it from crashing. And our good friend, the pilot there, DW, can tell us that is impossible.
Well, I think what you're saying is what I was referring to earlier, Mike. The last 120 years have consequences. There is a momentum and a physics. There's literally a physics associated with the momentum and energy that we are a part of right now, as a population, politically, every aspect. And we can't, I can use a very well-worn old analogy. How quick can you stop an aircraft carrier? Okay? And it takes a long time. You know, you got to have it takes a long time and a lot of effort. And I'm just trying to be realistic about this, is that this is going to have to run its course to some degree. Whatever degree that is will depend upon the American people once they decide who they are. And but I don't see any short-term change in course here. So.
Well, Darrell, again, reverting back to history, never in the history of man, recorded history, have the people ever stood up in mass to anything. And that is why we have to go back to Isaiah and the remnant. There, the mass of the people are useless. Because, especially in America, they are indoctrinated and they are driven by emotions. They have no logic. They have been trained to live on emotions and not logic. All of their decisions are made on emotion and not logic.
Well, and you make a really strong point. Yeah.
We can't fix that overnight. No, that's okay.
No,
go ahead.
Well, you're making a really strong point. I mean, really, all we're observing here, we're observing something that's very important, and it's not that I agree with it, not that I wouldn't want to have it a different way, but it is what it is, and reality is that we're just watching the population of this country, and to some degrees the entire world, who's been propagandized their entire life, responding to their programming. This is the fulfillment and the harvest of this indoctrination and programming, and it's a disease, and it will have to run its course like any other disease does, and this is where we protect ourselves and our families and our communities as best we can. This is what we're charged to do as men. You know, I try to be very careful about cherry picking scripture, and because I don't want to ever find myself in a position where I've used scripture in a vain way. But I will. I say that as a disclaimer here. In James 1:8, the scripture says a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways, and this is what we're seeing not only in the leadership. Trump's an easy target. I'm not just taking pot shots at him, but he's demonstrated. Terry has brought this out clearly today, Mike on many occasions, and Dave as well, that he runs there's a dualism associated with his process, his objectives, his agendas, and his actions. I can only relate that to a double-mindedness. And there isn't a coherency. And without that, there is no real good leadership, no established course of action. The continuity is not there. The words sometimes are just amazingly inspiring and great, and the follow-through is not so much. Of course, we've seen that there are 75 or 80 million people that would have supported that follow-through. But, Mike, you've said many times Trump can't do this by himself. But, in fact, that appears to be what he's been trying to do, is do it by himself. So, it is, here we are. So,
pardon me. If there was one thing that told me the inner core of Donald J. Trump, it had to be his pardoning of Jared Kushner's father. Because there was a Zionist who makes other Zionists blush. Kushner's father was convicted of perpetrating some really heinous, apolitical, old-fashioned gangland crimes against all of his rivals. He was a bad, bad dude, man. And Trump indemnified him for all of it. Doesn't do much to establish the president's virtuous nature, in my opinion, in any way. Because he absolutely pardoned one of the biggest Zionist mafiosos who ran Manhattan. And if you run Manhattan, you run the Manhattan banks. That pardon in itself was like the pardon of what was the guy, Mark, whatever his name was, that Clinton did. These people define themselves by the people they pardon for some heinous crimes against other people. I mean, you might pardon someone like Scooter Libby for lying for you or someone like that, but when you pardon people who have killed other people for monetary gain, that tells me a lot about your conscience and who you really are.
It's funny. I can remember Pincus Green, who was Mark's partner, and I actually dealt with Clarendon, who was Mark's company, and his last name is escaping me. Guys, help me out. What was Mark's last name?
I'm having that same problem.
I literally did business with Clarendon. I actually exported coal. I produced coal, and we actually borrowed money from Clarendon to build a clean coal production facility, taking tailing ponds and producing steam quality coal out of it by ultrasounding it. And here I am, can't remember Mark's last name. Paid every penny of the taxes. Rich, thank you. Rich Cograin. Goodness gracious. How could I forget that? That's insane. Okay, look, we've got about 18 minutes, 17 minutes left. Dave, you've been awfully quiet. You want to jump in here for a minute, and then I've got a kind of a closing question for everybody.
Sure. Well, this has been a great conversation. The gears in my head are really spinning, thinking about what you guys have been saying. And I would just like to add something to what Mike said earlier. He brought up Lincoln, and, you know, Mike is an expert on the atrocities of Lincoln. And, you know, I was subjecting myself to listening to these sanctimonious speeches of these senators and congressmen last night. It was truly disgusting. But, you know, I heard five different senators and congressmen quote Abraham Lincoln and, you know, sanctifying him and talking about Lincoln, Lincoln, Lincoln. And, you know, I started thinking, well, why is everyone, you know, quoting Lincoln? And it really dawned on me that the whole reason that Lincoln is sanctified is that the whole message of Lincoln is we have to hold the Union together no matter how nefarious it is, no matter how tyrannical it becomes. We must hold the Union together. And that was the point of all of these guys' speeches today or last night.
Exactly.
You know, we haven't heard anything out of Q, Dave. We haven't heard anything out of Q. The last comment or drop that Q put out was, I think, December 8th. And only a few comments before that, all the way back to November 3rd. And on November 3rd, Q posted a quote of none other than Abraham Lincoln from November of 1863. It said that this nation under God shall have a new birth of freedom, and that government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from the earth. We don't, but we could do a whole show on that alone.
yeah.
I'm sorry, Dave, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, I was just agreeing with you. I would just add one thing that last night I asked Mike, because Nancy Pelosi claimed that when Lincoln was shot, he had One Nation, One Destiny embroidered on his jacket the night he was shot. And I asked Mike, that sounds like BS. And he goes, yep, sure enough, total BS.
DW?
Yes, sir.
talked about repenting, basically. Mike has said on a number of occasions, if you're not going to keep going where you're headed, and you've got to first stop going in the direction you're going. That to me is a definition of repentance. And we're obviously in a spiritual battle here. These people have no conscience about the freedom or lives of the people, and there's no question that those that are behind the deep state are a bunch of Luciferians who would really like to reclaim our Father's creation. They actually believe that they can somehow build a means of defeating him in battle. They obviously know that battle's coming. And he's been letting this run its course. Can you build a picture of how people can stop and turn and go in a new direction and basically accomplish what the Declaration of Independence says of throwing off this government and establishing something new? And maybe even give us a glimpse of what that new thing might look like to you.
Oh, okay. Well, that's an easy question to deal with in 15 minutes. Thank you. Thank you, Brother Terry. bless your heart. The political repentance... I don't know. There's probably a couple of little bullet point ideas that can be employed here. First of all, is to step back away, step back away from all this. Everybody needs to step clear back away. All those people need to go home. Everybody who's at home should step back, take a time out. Whether that's a week or a day or whatever it is, there needs to be a timeout. And then there has to be, with any repentance, there has to be some soul searching, which requires introspection and introspection and self-awareness, because there's been a gross misunderstanding of perspective of the situation. Okay, first thing you have to do in this repentance process is recognize that you were wrong. Okay, would you agree with me on that, Terry? Whether we're talking about our Lord and Savior and our relationship to the Heavenly Father, as lustful men, we have to admit that we are wrong, and that is the first presence of that that self admission, right? Is that not required?
Yeah, we have to convict ourselves to the fact that we've been going in the wrong direction and doing the wrong thing.
Yeah. Yes. So this political redemption requires exactly the same process. And so in order to do that, we have to humble ourselves. And the only thing, the only thing in my life that allowed me to come to the point where I could do what we're talking about, repent and humble myself, was suffering. I had to suffer the consequences of my choices before I could bring myself to be humbled and suffer that and choose a different path. And so I would say that the union that was held together by Mr. Lincoln and that process wasn't a union worth saving. And I would say the same for that today, that I don't have any evidence in history to show me that this thing that is so deformed and corrupt can be reformed. And I absolutely know for a fact that the people that have deformed it are absolutely at every level and in every aspect unequivocally incapable of reforming or being a participant in the Reformation.
Hey, man,
so,
I agree with that. I totally agree with that, Daryl. The one thing is that, if I may very quickly, that quote from Q was from Lincoln's Gettysburg Address, and every time I hear that, I think of H.L. Mencken and his comment. He said, "The Gettysburg Speech is at once the shortest and most famous oration in American history. Nothing else precisely like it is to be found in the whole range of oratory. Lincoln himself never even remotely approached it. It is genuinely stupendous." Now, listen to this. This is just earth-shattering. Mencken said, "But let us not forget that it is oratory, not logic, beauty, not sense. Think of the argument in it. Put it into the cold words of every day. The doctrine is simply this, that the Union soldiers who died at Gettysburg sacrificed their lives to the cause of self-determination. That government of the people, by the people, and for the people should not perish from the earth. It is difficult to imagine anything more untrue. The Union soldiers in that battle actually fought against self-determination. It was the Confederates who fought for the right of the of their people to govern themselves. What was the practical effect of the Battle of Gettysburg? What else than the destruction of the old sovereignty of the states, i.e. of the people of the states? The Confederates went into the battle absolutely free people. They came out with their freedom subject to the supervision and vote of the rest of the country. And for nearly 20 years, that vote was so effective that they enjoyed scarcely no freedom at all." End of quote.
How true. Guys, we've got about 8 minutes. I've got a caller with a hand up. You want to take a question?
Sure.
I know the caller, so I'm not just letting anybody come in here. Area code 303, got a question for our group?
This is Colorado Mama. Happen to be a biochemist, and I'm looking at the scenario as I hear all of your input. By the way, I hear that one of you actually used to fly planes, and we have some common background from 9/11. So I've seen a lot of crisis in my life. I see that we have a lot of planning that nobody understands, and I go back to some biblical examples of men that were, you know, they were thieves and murderers and all kinds of different backgrounds, and God did amazing things with them. And honestly, when we first started this journey with our current president, I was not a fan of his personality. And I think that God used people that he didn't necessarily think their personality was that great to do some amazing things. And I've been believing during this period as I've grown and seen how God has worked in this. I've been hearing that tomorrow there's some major military exercises taking place out in the Pacific. Put an exclamation point, and I'm not sure exactly. I'm sure some of you may have some military connections. But what do you think that has to do with the fact that we have some Asian people that would really like to see our demise and take over our country? And it's evident in what's taken place in this, I call it a melodrama, that we've been watching. What do you think would have to occur for us to realize that we need somebody who's a strategist? Because obviously, you know, basement Biden, you can't not be seen in public hardly at all and pull off what happened. We know that this is a total rouge. It's a coup d'etat. And I understand history as well. And I was entering this world back when John F. Kennedy was trying to solve some of the problems that we still face today. I think we have had and we still have an opportunity to turn some of these ships, as I love the analogy you guys were using. How long does it take to stop an ocean liner, right? It's not a quick thing, but I'm praying that some of you guys might have some insights here about the military ops that are potentially going to start tomorrow, and it's to show our commitment over in the Asia Pacific. You guys are familiar with that shipping lane out there. Are you guys aware?
Well,
of
I get concerned about. I get concerned when I hear the word drill, because a lot of false flags seem to happen at the same time of a drill. Mike, you want to address Colorado Mama's question?
Yes, ma'am, and thank you for the question. I am concerned because I remember Operation Northwoods. I remember I do not trust the military establishment at all, because they are controlled by the CIA. One of the things that bothers me is anytime I start seeing American forces being moved away from the United States in a period of trial like we're going through, that concerns me. Why do you want to move them away from the U.S., especially since I have had friends and former associates telling me about a Chinese buildup not only in Mexico but also in Canada? So
yeah.
I worry about the movement of our forces away from the United States when this is happening. That's the short answer.
Put another question on top of that. I'm very aware of the forces that are up north of Toronto. I have business associates in Toronto. I also have them in Calgary. I'm aware that they've been doing, with Mr. Trudeau, the worthless guy, he's been being paid to train them in winter warfare.
Correct.
And,
I've heard you say.
and the fact that the north, up in the Iceland of the world, right? They're wanting to take claim of that, and Russia's not going to like that, and neither is the United States. So
Colorado,
I see things are a tinderbox right now. And
yeah, we're down to three. We're down to 3 minutes. And one thing I want to mention is that Newsom also gave the Chinese access to a California port, and there is suspicion that they shipped containers in with cruise missiles in them.
Yeah.
Mike, you want to address this last question?
Yes, as best as possible. I have even heard reports. One of the things that happened with COVID was a complete shutdown of the Navajo Indian Reservation. And I have friends on the reservation who have told me about some unusual activities taking places in the remote parts of that reservation. And let me tell you, there's some places out there you could hide an army.
Yeah. Well, I'm aware of that one.
2 minutes left, folks.
Wow. I love those.
Any final DW, you want to give us a final comment?
Hey, can I say something
first?
Yes, Mike.
May I say something really quick? Hey, California Mama, why don't you come on the show with us again, and let's let you be more of a participant in that.
Yeah, I'm Colorado Mama, but I would welcome that. I would welcome that because more of the story, and it's tomorrow's going to be a huge day. I encourage all of you to be fasting and praying tomorrow because we may have a 4th of July show going on in the United States.
Mike, you want to do it Sunday or Tuesday? I mean Thursday.
Whenever she is eligible Sunday, I am going into more into reconstruction. Perhaps the Sunday after that would be great, or we could do it next Thursday. Terry, that would be up to you, sir.
Next Thursday works fine. DW, final comment. We've got a minute and a half.
Final comment. It's been a real pleasure. Enjoyed it tonight. Great conversation. I predict the trauma by drama will continue. And off to Dave. Dave, what do you got to say?
Trauma by drama. That's great. I would just add that it's been a real honor to be part of this conversation, and what a great caller. She opened up a huge can of worms there at the very end. So, yeah, we'll have to do a part two. Excellent, excellent call.
Well, thanks for calling in. Mike, thank you so much, my partner. And, boy, you guys are the greatest guests, DW and Dave. We really appreciate both of you, and we'll get back with you here soon. So, y'all have a great weekend, what's left of it, and just be praying, everyone, because this is a spiritual battle, and if it's going to be won, it's going to take divine intervention. Good night, everyone.
Absolutely.
This has been Handling the Truth, and we'll see. Everybody should dial into Revolution Radio on Sunday night for Addicted to Your Own Destruction. And Dave, how do they get to you on Saturday? What time?
Saturday afternoon, 1 to 4 p.m., Studio A, Revolution Radio.
That's freedomslips.com, everyone. Bye, y'all.
Hey, Terry, give Wendy a hug for us.
Please welcome. Will do.
Good night.
Same to Susanna.
Will do.
Good night.
DW, hug yourself.
A vision softly creeping left its scenes while I was sleeping, and the vision that was planted in my brain still remains within the sound of silence. Dreams I walked alone. narrow streets of cobblestone. 'Neath the halo of a street lamp, I turned my collar to cold and damp. When my eyes were stared by the flash of a neon light that split the night, and touched the sound of silence. And in the naked light I saw 10,000 people, maybe more, people talking with silence. Fool said I, you do not know. Silence like a cancer grows. Hear my words that I might teach you. Take my arms that I might reach you. But my silence.